Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Center left for Hurdle, crosses the line, drops it back from Meyer, keeps it going, throws it in deep, Dahlin trying to reach it, Chmielewski trying to reach it, can't get it, only Burns is back. Two-on-one break for Dallas, moving in Glendening, Burns fell down, and Dallas gets the pass through him, and Raffle scores! So Brent Burns falling down to the ice in that two-on-one. The pass coming underneath him on the play, and Michael Raffle's not going to make a mistake with that. He fires it home at 13:32. That is the 11th shorthanded goal the Sharks have given up, and it is 2-0 Dallas.
I thought tonight we played exactly how we want to play in this building against an urgent team. We know how important this game was for Dallas. We tried to match that urgency early. I thought we did. I just thought our game was better. I thought that we played with good structure, and both teams got caught on an icing. We got caught out with our fourth line there. We iced the puck. They jumped us and they ran a play and scored. We did the same to them at the, on our goal. I guess the difference of the game is a shorthanded goal, and that can't happen. But was it for a lack of chances, maybe a lack of finish.
I think that the most amazing thing, and by the way, good morning, guys. How are you all doing? I think that the most amazing thing to me right now is that, like, I'm watching the Sharks and I get a period and a half into the game and it's like, oh, I've seen this one before. And I don't like that feeling in the slightest, because I've seen this one before when it's like the Sharks are playing disciplined hockey. The Sharks are doing a lot of things well. The Sharks are playing with a lot of defensive integrity. They're doing the things right, but they're not getting the puck to the back of the net. They are not finding themselves scoring goals. And I had a feeling that I was like, oh, this is going to be another one goal loss where the Sharks aren't going to give up much, but they're not going to be able to put much in the back of the net. And it was a repeat of the Nashville game, not quite as clean, but it was pretty much a repeat of that performance. And it's a performance we've seen time and time and time and time again this year. And it's amazing to watch it because, again, I continue to have no problem with the overall style of game the Sharks are playing, because listen, the talent isn't there right now. The depth isn't there right now, and Bob Bugner has situated this team in a way that they are competing in games and they are vying for victories, and that's all you can really ask for. I don't have a problem with losing by one goal or being in a game. Obviously, I don't like losing. I'm not, some sort of... I work for the team, but I'm not that much of a homer. I hate losing, obviously, but at the same time, I'll take losses like last night's over the blowouts, right? I don't want to see this team get absolutely steamrolled. I don't want to see them get blasted. I want to see them play a good game, and I feel like every time I watch the Sharks, I'm entertained. And that's, listen, by the way, as somebody who worked with Gary Radnich for a long time and also grew up the son of a sports broadcaster, I understand very, very clearly the value of entertainment. These are things that are very, very important to fans. And are the Sharks an entertaining product? Do you feel like you want to sit down and watch the game because there's a chance they might win? I think the answer to me is yes. And even though it's not a good chance that they win, you watch over the course of the game, you're like, okay, they're in this. They're giving themselves a shot. And that is ultimately what I want to see. Whether or not the win happens, like lately, it's probably not going to happen. I think we can all agree with that. But at the same time, the Sharks are in these games, and they are giving themselves a chance, and Bob Bugner has given the team a chance to get a win. And that, to me, at this point of the year, is as much as you can ask for realistically. Now, when you get more into who you are as a fan and who you are as, uh, you know, just an entity. Yeah, you want to ask for wins because you don't want to watch the Sharks win. But I mean, this is incredible. At Nashville, 1-0 loss. At Chicago, shootout loss. At Dallas, 2-1 loss. You know, Vancouver, that's a 3-2 game until they score the empty netter. What do you think is going to happen today? How many of you would be willing to take a stab at them losing by one goal? Because that's what I fully expect to happen. I expect it to be another tight game. Even on the second leg of a back-to-back, I expect this to be a one-goal game. I would love for the Sharks to come out of it on top, and I would love them to take a win before going back home against Columbus, St. Louis, and Chicago. But, you know, I have no idea whether or not that's going to happen, but I am hopeful. I am always hopeful when it comes to what I see with the Sharks in every single game. And I think that they give you a lot of reasons to be hopeful. I think that, you know, Kaapo Kähkönen, even though he hasn't been able to get a win yet with the San Jose Sharks, he, in the last couple of starts for him, has started to look very, very comfortable out there and is looking much more like the goalie we expected him to be. I think that when you look at what you're seeing with the young players from Jonathan Dolan and Noah Gregor and Sasha Chmelevsky, watching the three of them last night was a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching that. I enjoyed watching Brent Burns. I liked watching what we were going to see from Nick Bonino and Logan Couture out there together. I mean, I enjoy watching the Sharks right now, and I think that I'm doing a pretty good job of separating that aspect of the game from finding, you know, joy in the results. It's like, what was the goal that Timo Meier scored? Timo Meier assisted by Ryan Merkley and Mario Ferraro. That is the future of the San Jose Sharks. And no, I don't mean that every goal is going to be scored by those three, but it's seeing those three guys who are names we are going to be talking about for the next 5 years that I'm excited about and hopefully longer, right? But watching that play set up, seeing Merkley and Ferraro and Meier all combine for a goal, to me, it was like, that's exactly what I want to see. I want to see those names involved. I want to see the maturation because obviously we've seen so much between Timo and Barabanov and Hurdle, and obviously Barabanov out of the game last night. But you want to see these other names contributing. You want to see these other guys being a part of the Sharks offense and the Sharks production when all is said and done. Now, obviously, you are going to want to see more production, but my hope is that what we are seeing right now is lending itself to what we see next year and the year after that. This growth phase for the Sharks is going to be something that is, faster rather than slower. And it, again, watching this team, it doesn't seem like they are that far off. I keep on looking at these games they are losing. I mean, if we go back to the start of the month, it was a 5-4 loss to Dallas. And then 2-1 to Edmonton. Then 4-2 to Calgary and Vancouver. Then the 1-0 loss to Nashville. 5-4 with the shootout in Chicago. 2-1 last night. I mean, this is not a team that can't hang with good teams in the NHL. And obviously, hanging is not the desire. You want to win. But this is not a team that is getting blown off the ice, and you would hope that the trials and tribulations of everything that's happening this year will ultimately lead the Sharks to a faster development. And the only thing that I worry about is just the psychological impact of these younger players feeling loss after loss after loss after loss. Because we look at a guy like Sasha Chmelevsky, and I've been very impressed with his game. I like what he's been able to do out there on the ice. I like his instincts. I like his vision. I don't like that he has to be a part of a losing streak like this the minute he comes up to the NHL level or gets more playing time, because that kind of thing weighs on a young player's mind, and I don't want psychological defeat setting in. I don't want Sasha Chmelevsky starting to correlate himself with the Sharks losing, because I don't think he is the reason the Sharks are losing. I don't think any one player is the reason the Sharks are losing. I think that ultimately, in any given game, they don't have quite enough talent in terms of depth to go out there and beat the opposition. Now, can that depth be improved by way of experience from this year to next? Most definitely. Because the guys who are young, who are getting their initial opportunities right now, they are going to take this experience into the offseason and use it to make themselves a better player. The Sharks front office and the Sharks coaching staff is going to be very clear with these players on where they need to improve, what they need to work on, and how they can best utilize their offseason. I mean, think of a guy like Ryan Merkley. We go back a couple of years ago to where he was not living up to expectations, and he acknowledged that his nutrition wasn't great and he needed to be more professional, and he came in really great shape this year in camp compared to where he was the year before. And now Ryan Merkley has gotten many, many opportunities, and he's getting better and better and better with each passing week. He's not better every game, because that's not how it's going to go with, you know, a young player like him, but he's getting better over the progression of time. And that makes me very hopeful. And now there's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure with Thomas Bortolo making his debut against Minnesota today, because we heard Bob Bugner say that that was going to be the case, that we were going to see Thomas Bortolo out there and get an opportunity for him. So I'm excited for that. I don't want Thomas Bortolo to feel like he has to be the difference maker. I don't want him to feel like he is going to be the reason why the Sharks win or lose any game. And I know that this is maybe just me being over-concerned, but I do think that it takes an emotional toll. I watched a lot of bad teams over the years, and you know that losing mentality starts to set in. I saw it with the 49ers from the Mike Nolan to the Mike Singletary era before Jim Harbaugh came in. I saw the toll that took on a lot of those young guys, you know, Alex Smith in particular. I saw what, you know, the A's went through after the 06 season when they were not good at all until Bob Melvin took over, and a couple years ago they got rolling. You know, I have seen firsthand what the Earthquakes have gone through. When losing sets in, you can have really, really good efforts. You can have really, really good players, and it's hard to break away from that. And I think it's also hard to not carry that blame. Every player wants to shoulder the blame because every player wants to be the difference maker in a win. And I don't say that every player wants to be a star, because I don't think we're seeing hero hockey with the San Jose Sharks anywhere near to the extent that we saw last year. But I think these guys all want to be a difference maker. I think they all want to be the reason that the team wins when the 60 minutes of hockey is done, that they want to be able to point to their game and say, I helped them earn these 2 points tonight. Because I think on the other side of that, when the Sharks lose, I think there are a lot of guys who internalize these losses, look at themselves, point the finger of blame at themselves, and think about what they could have done differently to help the team win. And that is very natural among athletes. These guys do not have a normal psychology when it comes to winning and losing. They will brush off a win, even if they had 5 goals in a 5-4 win. They will brush that off much quicker than they would a bad pass, an interception in a 3-2 loss, where they felt that they could have had a goal-scoring opportunity if they just hit the outlet, that it would have set up a goal. They all take the losses harder than they do the wins, and they all think more clearly and remember the losses more clearly than the wins 5, 10, 15 years after the fact. And that's part of why they are such tremendous athletes. But again, I just don't want them to internalize the losing culture. You want this to feel like, when all is said and done, that it's a complete aberration, that when you're losing games like this, that it is noted that the team is in these games, that they are not getting blasted, that they are not getting, you know, blown out on the ice, that they are in these games and there are winnable opportunities. It's just that over the course of hockey, over the course of 60 minutes, I should say, the very clear and stark reality of what the San Jose Sharks are right now is that they are just not good enough. And it's a phrase that we hate to see sneak into our vocabulary, but they are unfortunately good enough to lose. But it is not a bad product or a product that lacks entertainment. These are the things that the Sharks, to me, are providing, which again, you may not agree with me, but when I sit down to a Sharks game, even though I have a feeling of I've seen this one before because I know how it's going to play out, I also feel like I'm engaged from, you know, the first dropped all the way to the final horn. And when we look at the Sharks last night, what was the difference maker in that game? It was the shorthanded goal, right? Otherwise, the Sharks in Dallas play a very, very even game, which for the Sharks out on the road at this point of the year, especially given the circumstances that Dallas are a part of right now, it's an incredible effort for the Sharks. And I don't want to be over effusive in my praise, but really Dallas has a lot more to play for than the Sharks, and they have a better roster. But the Sharks went out there and they were one mistake away from earning a point out of that game. Now, is that mistake, is that shorthanded goal, is that whatever you want to point it on over the course of the game, is that a problem? Of course it is. And you want to get that out of their game. You don't want to be giving up 11 shorthanded goals. You don't want to be on the opposite end of what is supposed to be a power play opportunity, a great opportunity for you to score, and then you find yourself giving up a second goal. That is not how that's supposed to work out. However, if you are a better team, if you are a more experienced team, if you are a more talented team, you have the ability to absorb that mistake and come back from it. Unfortunately, where the Sharks are right now, they are not able to absorb and overcome their mistakes. It's something we've talked about time and time and time again. This is a team that lives and dies by whether or not they can play close to a perfect game. When they do play close to a perfect game, they play a pretty damn good game, and they have a pretty damn good chance of winning. When they don't, they lose 1-0. 2-1. We've seen it over and over and over again over the course of this season and this extended losing streak. But again, it tells you that if they did have more depth, that if they did have a bit more talent, that if they did have a bit more out there on the ice, that they would be in a better position to win. And I am very, very hopeful for what we see next year from the San Jose Sharks with a Thomas Bordeleau, with a William Eklund, with more of these young players developing more. I mean, I saw some of those great plays that the Sharks young players were making last night, like Noah Gregor on the breakaway. What does his main focus have to be in this offseason? Working on finishing. Do I believe that is something that can be improved? I do. I know there's a thought that it's like, well, you either finish or you don't. But, you know, personally, I think it's about getting Noah Gregor to a point of where that aspect of his game slows down. Because Noah Gregor is usually the fastest guy out there on the ice, or one of two. And I think that he needs to slow that down mentally because everything is running at a very high, hot rate for him in those moments. He needs to work on slowing the moment down. The game needs to slow down for him so that he can put the puck in the back of the net. Because I think Noah Gregor is working at such a high operating speed that the game is still moving a bit fast for him, and he hasn't taken that next step. That is the next step, obviously finishing, but the sub-step there is that slowing down the game needs to be something he incorporates to his mental game so that he can look at where he has an opportunity to shoot, look at what the goalie is seeing, look at where he has an opportunity, and then go with that. It's the main thing that he needs to work on. And again, I think that is something he can most definitely work on. I think that is something he can add to his game. And if he does so, then suddenly he looks like a much, much better player, which is what we want him to become in this offseason, because when you have a guy who is that detail-oriented, who you feel has a bright future were it not for one aspect of his game in terms of finishing, then you see him as a totally different player and you view him as not just potential, but you view him as something that can help you win. And I still think that Noah Gregor, even in the here and now, can help you win because of what he does with his physicality, the way he plays on defense, the way he's out there all over the ice. He gives you a better chance to win, but obviously I want more. That's greedy Ted coming at you wanting more from all these players, but I do think there is more to his game. I enjoy my conversations that I've had with him because I think that he is hard on himself and definitely wants to improve. He's not just a happy-to-be-here guy. You know, I go back to the start of the year when he didn't have a good camp and started with the Barracuda, and he told the Sharks front office and coaching staff that when he did get his call, he wanted to give them an opportunity to not send him back down. He wanted to show them that, you know, he should have been here from the start of the season. And ultimately, he ran with that opportunity. And yes, you would love to see more production. I am right there with you. But he is not fooling himself. He is not unaware of what his deficiencies are. He is trying to maximize the most of his opportunities. And it's something that I hope that he carries with him into this offseason to get better and get more, you know, of an opportunity to have success at the NHL level again. Tough decisions are looming this offseason for the San Jose Sharks front office. Tough decisions surrounding your netminders. Kaapo Kähkönen looked really, really good last night. He is looking exactly like the goalie that the Sharks traded for. Now, unfortunately, Aiden Hill has been on the shelf for an extended amount of time. We haven't seen him for quite some time since that last shutout win over LA. Now, I would love to see him get a chance to come back and, you know, really have a good show before the end of the year. I don't know if that's going to happen. We all thought he would be back by now. He's not back by now. So you have a situation where you have three good goalies heading into the offseason. And maybe that means that you stick with the younger guys and you let Reimer, you know, you use him to get yourself some talent as well. Or you've shown talent from Kähkönen and from Aiden Hill, both who are younger goalies who have great potential for the future. I can't give you an idea of what the Sharks are going to do this offseason, but Joe Will even alluded to the fact that he didn't expect them to have all three heading into camp next year. That means there is most likely going to be movement, but that is not an easy decision right now because I really like what I've seen out of Aiden Hill. I really, really like what I've seen out of James Reimer, and what we're starting to see from Kaapo Kähkönen is something that I really, really like as well. And I most definitely appreciate all three of what they have done this year for the San Jose Sharks. The one to me that would be the hardest to lose in terms of not their performance on the ice, but in terms of their attitude in the locker room and the way that everything is, you know, water off a duck's back, that's James Reimer. I mean, James Reimer, after bad losses, after wins, after, you know, whatever situation the Sharks have been in this year, he has been a very, very cool customer, always very, very pleasant with the media, always very, very forthcoming, always really, really a steady guy. And I saw it. There was a play last night. I believe it was Jacob Megna, where his pass didn't get clear and he comes back to the bench and he's, you know, just cursing himself out as he sits down. And, you know, Reimer is right there to give him a quick tap. And, you know, just as a teammate and as a leader on the team, you know, tell him to brush it off. That's, to me, and very, very important to have in a year like this. Having a guy like Reimer who does not overreact, who is able to look at things from a different perspective, it's very, very beneficial to a young team. And I think that having these more experienced guys like a Reimer and a Logan Couture, guys who have been through battles, guys who have been out there and have played in big games and have been a part of, you know, good teams before, it's important to have that perspective, to have an older, veteran, experienced player kind of tell you like, hey, cool it, it's not that big of a deal. Go out there and have a great shift your next time out there on the ice. Because while we love watching Timo Meier and Logan Couture and Tomas Hertl play, right now, it's all about the young guys. And if a guy like James Reimer can help with the development of the young guys, there is a remarkable amount of value in having a player like that around. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Sharks win the draw. Sent back to Ferraro. Slides to Merkley on the right, to the middle. Meier shoots. Score! Terrific release by Timo Meier. Goal number 33 on the season. Merkley and Ferraro will get the assist, and the Sharks are on the board.
Yeah, I thought the young guys all played well. I thought that... you know, Weatherby coming in, I thought he played fine in the middle. I thought he had a little trouble in his faceoffs. I thought Reedy and Sasha, Merks, all those guys gave us, good minutes. It's just a matter of, you know, being a team that tries to score a little more to cover up the odd mistake. And, we've been like this for 2 years. Nothing's changed. We're in games. We compete hard. We have young lineups. Just got to find offense.
Hey, Timo Meier goal and some Bob Bugner talking about the young guys, bringing us back in here on a Sunday morning. Obviously, the narrative of the San Jose Sharks is turning a lot more to those younger players as the team is out of playoff contention and trying to maximize the remainder of this regular season to get as much out of those young players. A question was asked to Bob Bugner specifically last night about the play of Dahlin, Gregor, and Chmielewski, who, in my opinion, all three played very well. Here's Bob.
Yeah, I thought all the guys he listed played pretty well. I think that, guys are being put in positions maybe a little unfairly, but there's an opportunity here. And you know, all those guys, I thought Noah's speed was obvious tonight. He had another chance on a breakaway. And, those are plays you'd like to get finished. I mean, Rudy had a great chance on the 2-on-1 with Cooch. Those are high-end chances that you'd like to see finished. But like I said, it's not for not for the lack of being ready to play and executing and being structured. I think that, that team over there is a desperate team, like I said. And I think we went toe-to-toe with them. And I think I just looked at before I came in there, I think the chances were 10-9 for them. So, that's a pretty good stat on the road for us.
Well, it's like they say, the devil is in the details. And unfortunately, the Sharks, by one fewer chance created, ended up with one fewer goal on the board. Now, obviously, I can't say that if they'd created 11 as opposed to the 10 of Dallas, that the Sharks would have walked away with a win or at least a point. But you see that the Sharks are creating. It is the lack of finishing that is, punishing them right now. And obviously, they don't have the ability to absorb the mistakes. Obviously, earlier we focused on the shorthanded goal that was given up. Now, on the TV broadcast, I know that Drew Remenda consistently takes umbrage with Brent Burns going down on the ice and trying to block a pass, even though that's what Brent Burns has consistently done over his career. Bob was asked about how the D is supposed to specifically play that.
Everybody's got their own style. Burnsy's always been like that. We call that the spider, or he calls it the spider. And nine times out of 10, he executes that perfectly. So I don't have any problem. I thought he just went down too early. If he waits another half a second and lets the guy get a little further down on his backhand and a little closer to him, then that'll work. But, the object of a 2-on-1 is let the goalie have the shooter and try and take the pass across. And we didn't do that. Give them credit. They made a high end play there on a penalty kill. We got to execute more. You can't give up a shorthanded goal in a tight game like this. And that's the difference of the game tonight. And, otherwise I thought that, I'm happy with the way we came out. I'm happy with the way we played. There was a lot of good to take out of that game. No moral victories. I understand that we're looking to get out of the hole here and looking to get back in the win column. But, all in all, with the lineup that we had, it's a pretty solid effort.
And Bugner did break down that shorthanded goal a little bit more.
I think it starts on the breakout. I thought that we were too slow coming up the ice. Therefore, when we get across the line, they did a good job of bottling it up and stacking the line. And we got inside the line. We made the kick out. We made the play. And then we rimmed it. So when you rim the puck, you got to make sure that you got guys on it. I think after the rim, we could have recovered above a little bit. I think Sasha was caught 50-50 on that, and he decided to try and keep it alive instead of just living another day. And I thought that, they came out, obviously 2-on-1. Glendening made a great backhand sauce over Burnsy. I think Burnsy might have dove a little too early there, but they executed. And, it's just getting guys caught, trying to get pucks back. And the key is if you're going to rim it, it's got to be rimmed a little bit earlier. And we got to make sure that we're making the right decisions.
And again, the Sharks just don't have the overall ability to absorb that mistake. Back to the youth, Nick Bonino weighed in on what he's been seeing from the young players and their development.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to, be in games with playoff teams if you're not getting contributions and effort and solid play from everyone in the lineup. I mean, these guys, a lot of them started in with the Barracuda and have come up, and it's definitely a learning curve, the NHL, and it's not easy, but your first 10 or 15 games, you've got adrenaline and you almost always look good. And I think it's being consistent after that as the year's gone on, guys have gotten better and better at, and that's what you need to be an everyday player, is consistency and effort. And as the year's gone on, it's there has been that for sure.
But he was also asked about what the players should be thinking in light of all the losing that has been going on.
It's the NHL, so you're always being evaluated, whether you've played 800 games or 5 games. Teams want to be the best they can be, not only this year, but next year and moving forward. So everyone's got something to play for. First and foremost, pride. I think losing sucks regardless of your position in the standings. And we've been in every game and we haven't been able to get the win. So, it'd be nice to get one here.
And Bonino also spoke to how the team is performing in light of the losses, which are mounting.
Losing's losing. No one wants to lose. I think, personally, I'm proud of the way we have battled the last 8. I mean, we don't look like a team that's out of the playoffs in our hunger and our effort. And our execution, we're playing well. We're just not scoring as many goals as the other team is. And obviously that's an issue that, makes you lose. But for us, I think there's so many good things that we've taken away from these. And it's obviously the one positive to take out of it.
As for Sasha Chmielewski, though, he is not looking for any moral victories, even if he himself is playing well.
There's no moral victory. It sucks to lose. How many we've lost straight now? It doesn't matter that we were close or not. We didn't win. The games that we did fight back and go to overtime, obviously those were good to earn points. But, I mean, obviously there's ways to lose, and, we've battled really hard. It's been a lot of one-goal games, so I think we're definitely proud of how we battled, but you know, we're very disappointed, obviously, with, you know, the streak.
The best part about this schedule, though, was that after another tough loss last night, the Sharks have the ability to jump right back into it today. Second day of a back-to-back in Minnesota, taking on the Wild. Obviously, the Wild are a very good team, but this is another testing ground area for the San Jose Sharks. We've seen it time and time again. What's the most important thing on the second night of a back-to-back? The first period, get the legs working. If the Sharks can survive the first period, keep it a nothing-nothing game, or down 1-0 or 1-1 at that point, then just, you know, kind of fight and battle beyond that. We've seen this Sharks team very good at this before. They invite the battle, they invite the tough style of play, and I think that will ultimately be enough to allow them to have another competitive game against the Wild. And ultimately, you would hope that a competitive game will give the Sharks another opportunity to win. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Morning Tide. I will talk to you all this afternoon on the buildup for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.